come, every time. Come hear the good news, share the good news. Amen. And we all feeling good for the good news. NFT.
All right, straight into hour two. This is a new show that happens alternate Sundays. Right now, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern. It's Soul Healing with Evan. Evan is a soul healer, spiritual healer, and he heals with divine energy of Shirdi Sai Baba and Jesus. Well, that should be interesting. We're going to get to know him. His full bio is on newsforthesoul.com, and he's in the queue now, so here we go. Evan, welcome to News for the Soul Radio.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
Yay, I'm so glad that you are here. Welcome, welcome. And here's where we start with new people. Ha ha. I have a question that's just become the traditional first question here over the decades. And mainly because it's kind of what spurs the foundation of the whole quest in general, is what was the first moment? We all have that moment in our life where we first knew, not hypothesized, but just knew for a fact that we were more than the 3D physical that we were being told that we were here. So what was your moment, Evan?
Well, I think that for me, it came about when, you know, I'll just give a tiny background here. Maybe like many of your listeners, well, certainly like some people I know, I was actually raised not only in no faith, but as an atheist. Mm. So by the time I was 15, I was questioning that. Just as some people might question their religion, I was questioning my religion of atheism because it didn't seem to make any sense to me. And actually, while I do different kinds of things now, many years ago, when I was 15, I learned transcendental meditation as taught by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And I learned that because I was seeking something. And when I learned in that first day, I realized there was much, much more. And it was confirmed in those first experiences. And I knew that my life had shifted from sort of this very materialistic, relative-oriented life to right onto like a spiritual express train. And that's really when I first had a realization that things were going to be very different.
So we got to get into the nitty-gritty of that whole experience. Start us from the beginning. Walk us through. Leave nothing out.
Leave nothing out. I was working in a bicycle store. I was working in a bicycle store in Eastern Long Island, and I was 15 years old, and my boss noticed that I was very, very tense. And he pointed to a poster that said that tension would be reduced if I started TM. And so I thought, well, it can't hurt, and it was certainly not very expensive in those days. So I learned TM, and the tension went away, and bliss replaced that. And right away, within as soon as I got my driver's license when I was 16, I was driving to upstate New York to take advanced courses. Within maybe 6 months, I knew that my life was to become to get deeper and deeper and deeper into spirituality. So then I went to what was available to me then, which was to become a teacher of transcendental meditation in those days in Europe. And that really, you know, has informed the rest of my life, all the techniques that I learned there. And then I, you know, like many people, realized after marriage that I had to sort of find, or thought that I had to find something that would become economically, quote-unquote, economically feasible. And so I went into business. And that lasted for many years, but there was always this knowledge, not just a knowledge, but this really strong pull to get back into full-time spirituality. And around 2006, I became an architect. I was working as an architect, and I was actually working for one of the some of the wealthiest people and well-known sort of patrons of the arts. And I had just successfully designed a pair of granite benches that in total cost around $250,000, outside granite benches. And I thought, this didn't make any sense. This was crazy. Am I going to spend the rest of my life, you know, sort of crafting things for billionaires to enjoy? And that pulls me further and further away from the divine, in a sense, by going more and more into the relative and sort of trying to offer people perfection there when I, and it just dropped. It just stopped like a stone and or like one of these benches. And then all of a sudden, I started to be completely open to the energy of Shirdi Sai Baba. Baba was a saint, a great healing saint, in India, in the town, a small town called Shirdi, in the late 1800s, and he left his body in 1918, and he had healed millions of people of all sorts of illnesses and brought great spiritual sort of reawakening into that part of India, which you wouldn't think would need reawakening. But what happened is that people were very focused on their own little like tiny corners of religion. Baba would not ever proclaim himself either Hindu or Muslim. And this, somehow I got a connection, or had from some past life a connection to Shirdi Sai Baba or something. And it's, his energy just began to flow through me. And by his blessing, I began to heal people. Now, what I should say is backtrack back to when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, after I started TM, and I began to have these amazing, well, at that time it seemed amazing, miraculous experiences. I would begin to see angels. I would have foreknowledge.
So describe the first time you had an experience like that, like literally walk us through it.
The first time I had an experience of actually an angel, I was driving on a road, went around a turn in a bend in the road where there was like a little lake, and all of a sudden there's a 30-foot tall angel in, you know, glowing white. And now that, I think I was 16, and that really scared me. Not in a frightened way, but in a way like, that was actually out in a place, well, it was, obviously there was a relationship. It was in Watermill, Long Island, New York. And it was right on the edge of a property, which at that time was a, I guess, the, for want of a better word, kind of a retirement home for retired nuns. And it was called Cor Maria. And so I guess that's why the angel was there. It wasn't just in the middle of nowhere. And that did sort of scare me, because I had never experienced anything like that before. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do with this knowledge and with this, with these visions that began to come to me. And really, it was a long time, as there were more and more and more experiences of all sorts of celestial beings, both light and dark, that I would perceive. And then I began to have knowledge of past lives. But I didn't really know, what am I supposed to do with this? Because it didn't really seem, it just seemed to be kind of like, when you're 16 or 17 years old, and I didn't have a history. I didn't have a family or a mother or grandmother who knew this and sort of passed it on to me. This just came out of the, kind of like the blue. So eventually I began to understand this, but I didn't really seem to have something to do with it. So it was many years before it all came together. And now I utilize all of these channels, which are now very, very open and under better control. It's not like every day I'm walking down the street and seeing what I need to see on the street. It's only when I'm with a client or doing work like that that all of these things open up to me.
So go back to the moment where you saw the first angel thing.
Okay.
And tell us more about what happened, the whole experience. Driving around the corner and, oh my God, there it is.
Driving around the corner with the first angel thing. Well, you seem to want me to bring that up. What the angel was actually trying to tell me, it's actually quite sad. The angel was actually trying to warn me about something that was going to happen the next morning. And what the thought that came to me was, it was about a drowning, child drowning. And unfortunately, a very close friend of mine, their child drowned the next morning.
Wow.
And I had no, the connection just, it just wasn't there. I didn't think, call them or something that day. I got a call from my friend the next day. That really confirmed that there was something there and there was a connection there, and I didn't really know, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to make this something that is useful? So we often have, I think, experiences like that. And I think that when you have an experience, like if people are open to that and that begins to happen or has happened, it's not really not something to walk away from. That's actually probably more your calling than whatever you think your calling is. And there need to be,
I think
more people.
Like the first time, just so you would know that it's very, very real.
Yeah. I think so. Maybe you're right. I mean, maybe it just was like, okay, well, this thing is going to happen, and here's the connection. And it's not a figment of your
imagination. It's certainly a way to get your attention, isn't it?
Get your attention, right. It's not a figment. It's not something that is unconnected to life, but rather very connected. And I think that that's really true about a lot of these kinds of experiences, if you do experience them, that there really is a lot more going on than sometimes we're aware of.
Yeah, well, this is why we bring together in that moment here, because there's so many people doing consciousness and spiritual stuff, and they're all metaphoric, you know? They're going to uh-huh. people's name and, you know, visualize, you know? But this is like real stuff. Right? I mean,
yeah, there's no, right. Yeah. It's not sort of what would be called mood making. It's not sitting down and saying, no. I'm going to visualize the purple flame. No, it's like, this is real, just as mm-hmm. anything else is real. That sort of astral level, that ethereal level is very real if those channels are open. All of this is very real. It's not like you're saying. It's not really a metaphor. It's you can live metaphorically, but there is a very real thing happening out there for if you allow channels to open. I mean, I know many people may try to have channels open and they don't open, and there's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of it is that there's a lot of gunk and garbage that accumulates through various things that people do, extracurricular kind of drugs and various things that sort of blow away those channels. And they just, I was very fortunate not to ever partake in those things when I was a kid. And I think that that did help me a bit. And I'm not going to say that people who have gone the other way are precluded from having experiences like that. That's just my own experience.
Well, this is now we're cooking with gas. We got some stuff going on. So walk us through again. We just saw an angel. We've had a premonition. Now you know this stuff is pretty serious and it's really happening. And there's definitely way more than we were told. What happened next in your path?
What happens next in terms of this path? The next thing along the line is that I find that I go to the advanced TM course, which at that time was being held in Switzerland, to learn what are called the TM cities. And which for those who might have some familiarity or remember this, was involved levitation and things like that. But one of the other, I began immediately to have some very strange experiences. I'm in a foreign country, and someone begins to speak to me. I think I was 17 or 18 years old. And someone was speaking to me, but they started speaking to me in German. But I understood every single word they were saying. It just automatically, I knew they were speaking German. But it was translated in, on the subtle level, or not that subtle. I knew exactly what they were saying. Began to realize, okay, there's a lot of very real things here. It's not, this isn't just talk. All of these sort of paranormal or supernormal abilities, really, they exist. But when you're experiencing it, it doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like if you're 8 months old and you can't speak, you know, and then you can talk when you're 6 years old, it's like that. It's not anything earth-shattering when you're experiencing it. It's completely normal. It's completely natural, yeah. And then many experiences like this began to occur. So that it becomes very, very natural and very normal. And I would say, though, really the important thing here is these are very much experiences of sort of sensory experiences, subtle senses. So a subtle, the ability to perceive a divine being with sight, or the ability to hear someone in another language and understand them, or the ability to hear something very, very far away, or remote viewing, things like this. But these are still very much sensory experiences. And they, in my path, I saw that they didn't really lead to, quote-unquote, any kind of enlightenment, but rather they were sort of just experiences. And they were, and the value is kind of like what you were pointing to before, that they let you know that this is real, and that there is a real, there's something way more than what we're experiencing. But it was years later that I learned that what began to happen involved the heart and the heart chakra and energy in the heart, and that experience begins to touch on the beginnings of kind of a more divine experience.
So discuss your first opening with that.
The first opening with that, okay. So the first opening really was an amazing type of experience where I asked the Divine Mother to take pain that was in my heart, blockages and gunk, sadness and whatever we might, how we might call it, whatever we might call it, and to take that away. And seconds later, it vanished. Like it, I felt this, like
seconds.
Darkness, seconds, darkness pour out of me, just like that. But what happened that is really good for a lot of people to know is that was replaced, because at that time I was like 30 years old, and what was removed left a big hole, a big emptiness, a feeling of really missing something, because that sort of stuff that was removed had been with me, probably started accumulating when I was just, you know, a few months old. So a lot of times that also happens to people, and I'll see that in clients where a huge taking of the negative, of the badness, of whatever we want to call it, happens, and then you're left with a huge hole. And people will feel very, and I felt very, like, alone and very, like, I'm missing a huge part of me. And then this knowledge descended on me that, no, that was something that had to go. And within a few days, within a week, you'll feel better. And that is what happened. It took about a week for sort of the healing. It's kind of like taking out something out of a wound. And then the new scar tissue or skin or whatever grows over, you know, fills that in. And then I felt fine. And that changed my life enormously, because at that point I was still deeply immersed in the field, which I was my first love, which was architecture. But then it became clearer that I needed to move. I needed to move on to something that was going to be much more profound, if not as economically rewarding, but certainly spiritually, just the absolute highest thing that I could do. So far, that's what I found.